Hi Aditi, how are you? Hi Aditi, how are you?
Hello, ma'am. I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good. Wow, perfect
She
timing, Aditi. I just had a session which I closed now, so I got a little worried that it might be overlapping. But
no,
perfect.
ma'am. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
I asked her to change time. She will be joining in 5 minutes. So I kept 5 minutes as grace time.
All right. Okay. No problem. I've made you the host, so you should be able to handle the recording and all that.
Yes, ma'am, I can see that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye, ma'am. Take care. I will get back to you after conducting one more interview. Actually, most of them are lining up for weekend only. So
okay.
I have three teachers on hold for weekend. They have not given me the time, but weekend is for sure.
Oh, weekend, no problem. So the time, you can take any time.
Huh. Even I am okay with the time because I just want to wrap it up as soon as possible because it's already getting very delayed.
Thank you, Aditi. That will be wonderful.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm really sorry for the delay.
No, no. I mean, these things take time, you know, getting permission, getting them on board. But thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. I will see you. I will speak to you soon, ma'am.
Sure. Bye.
Bye, ma'am. Take care.
Yes.
So, ma'am, I've started the recording and I am sharing the screen with you. Hello, my name is Aditi Sarawat. This is 1st July 2021. I am conducting my interview with Professor Farah Farooqi and it's approximately 7:55. Sorry, ma'am. So, ma'am, first of all, we will be starting with, after your permission, I'm recording this interview, but no personal information will be disclosed. Now, I would like you to please, give me some of your personal information, like your name, your qualification, your specialization, and which courses you teach.
That you can also get from my a CV, which is on the website.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but Farah Farooqi, I teach in the Institute of Advanced Studies in Education, Jamia Millia Islamia.
And ma'am, for how long you have been associated with this college?
Yeah, I've been associated with this university for the last 14 years. Previously, I was with Lady Shri Ram College before joining Jamia.
Oh, that's great, ma'am. Ma'am, presently you are teaching which course?
I teach MA education. I also teach B.Ed. And also one paper, a half paper or a 2-credit paper to DLED.
Okay.
Of course, with the PhD program.
Okay, ma'am. Ma'am, out of these like two main education programs, which you teach very intensively, on which of it you will be more comfortable to speak on? Like, because we want to keep it very specific. So, B.Ed or MA education?
Whichever.
We can start.
B.Ed is also fine. Yeah, B.Ed maybe.
Okay, ma'am. So, ma'am, since when B.Ed is being offered in the university?
Shit. I don't really know the year. But it must have been now several decades.
Yes, ma'am.
The department got established in 1930s, after the Vardha committee gave its report, and the DLED program, which is now called the DLED, but it was the basic education program, which started then. That is what I'm told about the history of the department.
Mm-hmm.
So the department actually started with the with Gandhi's call about regarding basic education.
Yes,
and BA would have, I think, started later, after independence in 60s, I think.
No, it's actually been long, several decades.
Yeah, several decades.
Ma'am, what is the approved intake for BA? Like, how many students can you intake with one batch?
200. We have four sections.
Okay. And ma'am, how many students were admitted in 2019?
200, I think. It is quite a, you know, a much wanted program.
And I think, ma'am, the same goes for 2020. Okay.
Quite a huge competition to get into the program.
Yes, ma'am. I think you have an entrance exam for the same, right?
Yes.
Now, ma'am, we want to understand, you know, a bit about the kind of students who secure admission in your program. Like, from which stream are they really coming from? Since B.Ed.
From
is all these like streams. After the graduation.
From all but these streams.
If you can approximately give a number, like 10 students out of 100.
We have a fixed number. Just give me 1 second.
Sure, ma'am.
My mother is calling. Give 1 second.
Sure, ma'am.
Hello? Hello. Yeah, tell me.
Ma'am, can I speak now?
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
So, the proportion, I think, would be comparable in all these courses. We have a fixed number. I will not be able to tell you the exact number. But yeah, I think 10 or 12 students from each of these streams, or maybe more, because we have students from in history and political science and commerce and physics, biology, and in languages. We also have, apart from the subjects which are listed here, we have students who are from English, Hindi, Urdu, and we also have streams such as Islamic studies. So, yeah, so
I think Jamia offer more variety in courses. Since it include Urdu and Islamic studies also.
Yeah,
that's good to know, ma'am. How would you describe the quality of their academic qualifications? The students who seek admissions there, are they like the first class students?
I don't know what you mean by first class.
Ma'am,
because we have an entrance exam.
Yes,
the students who come to us are also from, you know, we have had students from colleges, from DU colleges, such as Lady Shriram, then Stephens, and from other colleges. But we also have students from remote villages of Bihar. So they are of you know, very diverse backgrounds.
And ma'am, by your, you know, in your 14 year of experience, what can you say about the strengths, academic strengths and weaknesses of students who seek admission there?
I don't know. If I cannot be, because actually the question that you are asking is quite ambiguous. If you go by marks, then we have students who have scored well. We also get students who don't score that well, but that does not really define their academic strength.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm not sure.
And ma'am, plus, you know, being very good in academics really does not mean you have a aptitude for teaching also. That's also a different part of it, I suppose.
Absolutely. And getting students from such diverse backgrounds in itself is a great strength, because then, you know, they learn from each other and they are able to, you know, I think a lot of peer learning happens.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, since like we all know that seeking admission in Jamia teacher education program is quite prestigious, so how would you compare your students' academic profile with that of other students seeking admission in different universities or colleges?
Again, you can make Aditi, a comparison. Aditi, you'll have to explain to me what you mean by academic profile.
Ma'am, by academic profile, I mean like you get more like in CIE, there are since, you know, DU has different colleges and CIE is a separate department for it. So there are, you know, students prefer being part of CIE if they, you know, if they get a preference to write on their form, the CIE is most of is mostly in the first option. And, you know, they go to several different off campuses college later on. But since you people like Jamia do not have a off campus, it's like one whole department in the university. So just by so far, if you can compare the student's academic profile with that of other universities.
As far as BAD is concerned, I don't see any difference in the profile of students. You know, and now that we don't have some of the, if I may say, the kind of teachers which were there earlier in the CIE, I don't think there is any kind of difference because students from CIE come to us for their post graduation, for their PhD. I don't feel that there is much of a difference.
Ma'am, what is the proportion of men and women in students among the courses, among the BEd courses?
You are asking about BEd, no?
Yes, ma'am.
Women students would be around 55% or so, men would be 45%.
That's a greater number than what I received the answer from DIET institutes. Ma'am, on an average, are mostly 200 seats which are allotted, you know, which is like the intake number for Jamia. Most of them are always filled during the, in every session.
All are filled.
And you do have.
We have a waiting list, which we are not able to, you know, hardly one or two students are. They leave the course after joining, so we don't we are not able to admit students from the waiting list.
The course is actually in high demand. Ma'am, do you think the profile of your students have changed since the 2-year BEd program was introduced?
Don't know, but and also because the kind of diversity we have, and we have students, and you know, we have students who prefer to you know, go through the course in Hindi, then we have students from Urdu background and English background. So not much change in the profile of students. I don't think there is much change.
Ma'am, if I ask you, about the students.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Reaction when 2-year program of BEd was introduced. Ma'am, I'm asking you about BEd was introduced. So how can you describe their experience or their reaction towards this such a big change?
The students, of course, weren't very happy because they see it as a program where they could, you know, get a quick degree and then they are able to get some working, you know, some kind of work in schools, and they get appointed as, if they want to quickly get appointed as teachers. So yeah, it wasn't really welcomed by the students.
2-year program means a longer commitment.
A longer commitment, and your 8th question is about the socioeconomic profile of students. So as I said, that we have students from all kinds of socioeconomic profile, and students come to us from what is referred to as you know, a very elite kind of background. Then we have students from depressed communities, and we have students from several regions, there are students who find especially when they come from faraway places. They find staying in Delhi is quite costly, and so it also meant, the 2-year program meant that they also had to incur money and had to somehow sustain themselves. So of course they did not find it
It's challenging.
In terms of the cost involved.
Yes, ma'am. So ma'am, after completion of the course, if students have actually not opted for teaching, what are the other alternatives do they really look at or they wish to indulge themselves in your experience, if this has happened?
Yeah, they go for MA or MEd. And some of them who have that kind of, you know, leisure in terms of time, they join PhD, and they also work simultaneously to try and earn something, and others who get some kind of scholarship. Join the program.
I mean, your experience, have you witnessed students shifting their professional profile completely? Like after being part of BEd, but they do not wish to pursue teaching further. So have you witnessed any of this in your university?
Yes, some students, when they get a chance, not a complete change of profile in terms of leaving education and joining some corporates or other such things. So that hasn't happened. I don't think many students whom I can recall, they shifted to other such areas. I don't recall having seen students shift their profile so much. But yeah, opportunities are difficult to come by, and they have to struggle a lot. And many then have to also rely on tuition. Some Also, you know, they join coaching centers till the time they get some appointment in some school, whether government or private.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do all those kind of things.
I mean, it's difficult, the employment market, even after completion of the course from a reputed institute, it's difficult to come by. Ma'am, if you can list few key motivation of your students to join the program after completing their graduation, they are coming to BEd.
Yeah, the key motivation. Yeah, for some of them to join the program, it's very different for, you know, different for different students. For some of them, getting admission in Jamia, in the BEd is it's a great achievement.
Yes, ma'am.
And they so that in itself is a motivation. For and as we all know that it is a gendered program. Many girls join the program because they, you know, find teaching they feel is a part-time work, and they can look after their respective families after if they are able to join school. And yes, you know, boys, they feel, I have students from the history department of Delhi University who having done quite well in their masters, they have joined BEd. So they feel that they need a professional degree in case they are not able to, you know, go into higher education. They would at least be able to teach in schools, and it has over the years become quite lucrative.
So, to secure the
they feel that this degree will at least give them some security.
Yes, ma'am. At least for the time. And that happens across, I think, every university. Ma'am, I think this is also, you know, this is what teaching or education as a discipline faces the challenge also. Ma'am, coming to the next part, it's about student perspectives about the program. So what do students most like about the BEd program from Jamia?
I don't know. I hope you will be able to also interact with the students. For many students coming from, you know, coming to Jamia after doing their graduation or post-graduation and then taking admission in BEd, I think one change that a good number of them like is the kind of diversity in the curriculum. Terms of we continue to have co-curricular activities, and we also have work education and other such courses. So I think the kind of syllabus that we have, the curriculum that we have, that many students, they are not exposed to that kind of program. So I think those are some of the things that many of them like.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, plus also getting the chance of being taught by very reputed or renowned professors across the course.
I don't know.
As a student, I would say that will be a motivation for me to join the course. Ma'am, are there any issues that students report about the program? Something they wish to change or something they wish to, you know, to work upon or to be improvised for better experience?
I don't know. But actually these questions are not very easy to answer.
It's okay, ma'am. You can take your time. We can revisit them. That's okay.
Yeah, that some students say that the program is quite hectic, which it is. Then also, I think as teachers, some of them feel that we are not able to do justice with the syllabus. A small percentage of students, I think they have said this to me, not about me, but yeah, they, some of them
in general.
In general. So,
and we have covered the third question. In what ways do they change as they go through the program? As you know, witness students who are from the first day to the day when they actually are completing their course. So in my experience, there's a drastic change among the students, their understanding about different things. So in your words...
There is a change, but... I think the kind of change I saw in students when I was associated with the BLED program, which is a four-year program in the Ram College, we do have that kind of change in BLED. But as far as, you know, I'm more concerned not about the full program, because I don't have that kind of freedom to intervene in the entire program, though we are now trying to change the syllabus and make it a little better. But yes, I'm at least the courses that I teach, so I'm more concerned about those, and I try to see if students, you know, how they, if those courses have some kind of impact on students. So yes, I feel that those students who are more regular and they are, you know, and they develop an interest in the courses that I teach. So quite a few of them change in their, I see a change in their belief system, in their, you know, some of them claim to have, you know, change in, they themselves see a change in themselves and they feel that they are now able to, we have, you know, overcome their stereotypes and prejudices. But there is, of course, even in the courses that I teach, there is a very small percentage whom I can say that they have this kind of, that I'm able to see a drastic change. But yes, over time, I feel that if they reflect on we did in classes, some kind of change will come about.
Ma'am, in context of like when we are talking about change in students, so do you think in your opinion that is related to their school internship or the teaching practice that you have at Jamia, which is minimum of 20 weeks? Is that of my understanding? Mm-hmm.
That change, yes, it's not just the internship, but also what they learn in the foundation courses and the kind of linkages that they are able to forge with what they then see in schools and classrooms. So that brings about a change. So there are, I think, it's a number of small things that impact the change. Also is to be have NSS camp and the co-curricular activities, of which I have never been a part, except for one or two instances. This year, though it was online, but I did, I was given the, you know, charge of one group. But the kind of, you know, change and I see, saw in the students, that was quite amazing. Maybe because they are able to then, in formal situation, to provide students with a lot to explore and learn. So I think such situations need to be provided. And yes, they do end up learning a lot.
Sure, ma'am. Ma'am, once they have visited a school internship, like after being part of school internship, what do you get back to schools where you have...
Yes. We do organize, you know, an interaction at the beginning of our school internship, and when it ends, then again we try to organize an interaction with the school principals and teachers. So yes, so we do get a feedback regarding our students. And I think it's a good exercise that we have been doing over the years. So yeah, we do then try and make changes in our, not the entire program, but the way we implement our internship.
Yes, ma'am. This is actually an interesting practice, and this is the first university, or you know, the first time I'm hearing about this, that schools and principals are being called and teachers are being called to interact with the students before the beginning of school internship and even after the ending of it. Ma'am, what is the main feedback you receive from your school, from different schools?
Most of them, most schools, they are quite happy with our students, but yeah, we are able to negotiate with others in the sense that they want some of the schools, they overburden students, they want them to take up substitution classes, and go in the classes in absence of teachers when the teachers are absent, or do other such duties. So we have
substitution.
It's all substitution now. So we have to then negotiate with them that as students they need time for to prepare and to understand the school. So yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, coming to the next part. After taking up teaching, do your students keep up in touch with you after the course is complete and they have moved forward professionally and personally? So do students get back to you and give you feedback about their experiences?
We have a placement cell.
Okay.
So they, you know, they help students in placements, and then students also remain in touch with the placement officer and others.
So is it can I say that even after completion of the course, those the placement cell of university helps alumni?
No, not the alumni, but only the students who are in the final year.
We
keep a data of our alumni, so that way they keep in touch. But otherwise, yeah, on the personal level, they keep in touch. But we don't have any institutional provision as such.
That's interesting, ma'am. Now, ma'am, since we are talking about placement cell, we can come to the sixth part, that is about students' career. Ma'am, after completion of the course, so where are students getting employed? Government school or private school or any other sort of placement that you can name?
There are many who do find employment in government school, but not immediately. For the last few years, we have not had vacancies and they're still waiting. Recently, I think the SSP vacancies have come about. So some are preparing for it, and others, some have got employment in private schools as well, but our students who are from English background, they get employed in private schools much more easily as compared to other students. So,
Ma'am, speaking of private schools, is the placement cell at your university have any sort of affiliation or any sort of collaboration with specific private schools?
No collaboration, but some schools approach us. So, for example, last year, a few of our students got employment in, so it's considered a good school, a good private school. Some schools, not many, but some schools approach us and then they meet our students, and then there are campus placements. So, yes.
Ma'am, what is the starting salary of teachers who join private school?
Who joined private school?
Yes, ma'am. Just a fresh joinee.
I think students who are able to, you know, get into a school such as, you know, Bluebells or Shivnadar. Shivnadar came last time. So Shivnadar, I think that several students got employment in that school. So they give a good enough scale, I think, whatever is now the scale. So, otherwise, many are contract teachers.
In government schools?
In government.
Or in MCD?
So,
ma'am, since we are talking about private schools, and you named quite a few elite private schools like Shivnadar and Bluebells. So what can you say about like other, you know, not so elite private schools? What is the pay scale, or do they really give teachers the classes they have actually, you know, have learned to teach in B.Ed. courses, or do they give them lower grade classes to teach initially, and then they gradually move them forward?
Sorry, I will not be able to answer this question. But yes, the students, most of the time, the kind of schools we have, the entire market. So, they are exploited there. It is actually very exploitative. We all know that.
Yes, ma'am. And ma'am, do you are there any NGO also who has come to your college, or any NGO working in the education sector looking for teachers to be placed or recruited from your university?
No, I am not aware of it.
Okay, ma'am. Do you know any of your student who has, you know, left a school or has not opted to teach in a school but affiliated himself or herself with the NGO, who is working in the education sector?
Not the B.Ed. students, but I know some of my students are working with some. Use as well, but not immediately after doing it.
So,
in a placement.
I'm also in.
Have been able to answer your questions. Yes.
Ma'am, also programs like Teach for India, they do look up for students who are not specifically from education sector. So it's a vast market, I think. Ma'am, what are the other careers related to education that students can pursue, or in your experience you have, you know, seen your students pursuing different careers?
I don't know. Some of them do, you know, unfortunately go to other shops such as Baiju's and other such places, because they get at least some money to sustain themselves. So some of them join such you know, whatever you choose to call them, but
just looking for
of course they would prefer to be in a school, and that too in a government school. Some of our students also are also teaching in the central schools. So whenever there are visits, some of them do get a chance to get it.
Now, ma'am, coming to the performance in TAT, from the past previous 2 to 3 batches, how many of your students, in your opinion or in your knowledge, have actually applied for STAT for of different states or for Delhi, that is CTAT? Or most of your students apply for this exam, since it is the necessity for, that's an eligibility criteria for applying for a government job?
I don't know how many. I'll not be able to give you the accurate percentage.
But that's okay, ma'am. I'm only looking for approximate number in your opinion.
We hear of only a few students, you know, taking the exam and getting the required number, the required percentage.
Ma'am, does your university provide any support for preparation of such exams?
No.
Okay, students do come up to you with certain queries in the question paper, in the previous year question papers, and asking for your help?
No. At times, students do call, but we don't have any kind of institutional provision for such support. But yeah, they do call and ask if you know, if we can suggest some books or some readings to them. And we don't have any provision, institutional provision of this kind.
I think students approach their seniors more in this context. Now, ma'am, coming to the seventh part, that is the second last part, that is the basic information about your university. Ma'am, what are some of the challenges you or your colleague face with reference to teaching students? If I name few, attendance or regularity, academic competence, interest or motivation. So any sort of challenge you face with your students?
I think regularity is the problem, in the sense that yes, and not such a great problem if you compare with other colleges and universities.
Yeah. And ma'am, about their change in interest or motivation of becoming a teacher, sometimes students do get demotivated in the middle, or they are, you know, highly motivated because of the kind of experience they have. If you can name any other challenges.
Actually, this question regarding motivation to become teachers, if I was asked when I was teaching in LSR College, I think students came more for the college and less for the program. But here we don't have that kind of thing, and students, most of them come to the program because they are interested to become teachers. And so, yes, the students some students find it a little more difficult to cope in terms of being able to write, in terms of other such things. But yeah, by and large, many, there is a good percentage which I feel is motivated to become teacher.
And they survive with each other's support, and they learn and they grow together.
I think a lot of peer support is needed for a program like BEd, because and the kind of very different backgrounds that students come from. So yes, they do support each other.
Yes, ma'am. They are graduate, like their specialization is from different fields, but when it comes to teaching, some of them do face the similar sort of problems. So that just is becoming more of a unite front for them. Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, in context of faculty development, do you face any sort of challenges from your university or opportunities?
Which question are you referring to?
Ma'am, the second one.
Some challenges you and your colleagues face with reference to your own tenure. What does that mean? Salary. So we are a government university. So that, of course, does not apply to us. As far as opportunities for faculty development is concerned, we do have a HRDC center, which is the center where we...
And what is the full form of the center, HRDC?
That is human resource. I think the name has now changed with the change in the name of the ministry.
Okay.
But we have earlier, it used to be called as the Academic Staff College.
Okay.
So we have, you know, programs, refresher courses and faculty development programs. In that center, but of course, most of these programs are, you know, are wanting in terms of rigor, and most of the faculty members, they join the program because it is a requirement for mobility. It is mandatory. So yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, do you also face any sort of program, any sort of problems with the with reference to NCTE regulations?
No, problem.
That's good to know, ma'am. And quality of exams for students.
Quality of exams depend upon the quality of, you know, the intended and enacted curriculum. So, yeah, both are wanting in, I think we need to improve upon both our syllabus and the kind of exams that we hold.
I hope you do that soon, ma'am. Ma'am, coming to the sixth part of seventh, What is your view of the proposed four-year program of the NEP?
I don't know what, I haven't really engaged with it much, but the four-year program was always, it was proposed much earlier. It is not a child of NEP.
Ma'am, in context of two-year program of B.Ed., do you think it should be continued? I just want to know your opinion on it. Has it somehow improved teacher quality?
Yeah, there is a scope of improvement, and some improvement has come about. And there is, we do have a scope of improving much more. So I think it should continue. The kind of programs that we have in terms of like the self-development courses and other such programs. So I think it should continue.
I agree, ma'am. Ma'am, coming to the last part, that is COVID-related. Ma'am, how is your institute functioning in this COVID period? I'm sure everything is...
Now. Yes, we are having online classes. So I think we are facing the same kind of challenges that other institutions are facing. Of course, it is not the happiest of situations. So we cannot compare the online classes with the face-to-face interaction that would have happened. So yeah, but anyway, we are somehow managing.
Just making the best of those situation. Ma'am, in context of online classes, in your experience, what has improved, if there is any sort of improvement you have seen at anywhere, or what has worked well for you in the delivery of your lecture or preparation of students for classes?
Really, no. Actually, as far as regularity is concerned, we cannot say whether the students who are joining the class are also, because they don't switch on their camera. So we don't really know if they are engaged. And but otherwise, most of them do join. When we send a link on the group. So, yeah, I don't, but it is quite a challenge.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, it's difficult for everyone, for teachers and for students. They are all facing problems. So, ma'am, while we're talking about problems, so what are the other difficulties in your experience that students have faced?
Students have... many students, they have faced economic crisis, and they continue to face many challenges. Medically also, some students got infected, and there were many of their close relatives, in some cases, departed. So... we have had that kind of, as it has been with all of us. So,
yes, ma'am. And there's also an issue of access and even, having the right resources.
That again has been a problem because invest that kind of money, and of course many of them access classes only through their phones, which again is a problem if there are they have siblings, and if there are three or even four phones if they have in one family, then again some of them find it difficult to be able to access. So yeah, some have really been, though the, again, we don't have the kind of institutional provision that we should have had, but yeah, whenever students approached any of us, so we have at the level of our department, we tried to help them.
But ma'am, even the faculty was not prepared for anything like this. I don't think anyone was prepared for any such situation. So ma'am, on the behalf of faculty, what can you say were main challenges for you people? Because there were several like Google Meet or Zoom. So there are different platforms on which we are engaging right now. But I think most of us were not actually aware about a lot of these platforms earlier.
But yeah, but I think that did not pose at the level of faculty. I think we all were, as far as holding online classes is concerned, we all were able to cope quite well. And some of us, those who are much more savvy as far as ICT and computers are concerned, so we did support each other. That was not much of a problem as far as the teachers are concerned, but yeah, our students did face a lot of problems.
That's good. And then the last part of the interview, how, in your opinion, how it all has affected the program as a whole, the virtual classes and online mode?
Now, our students, they are, the first years would have gone for their internship to schools and would have made observations. Have written reflective journals, but now they are, it's all so ironic, but they are now, you know, trying to observe online classes, and it's actually very funny. So what they will be able to gauge and understand from this experience. It's going to be quite bad.
Even for those young kids who are being introduced to a new teacher, that too online.
So yes, the program has suffered. I hope in the final year they are able to physically visit the schools and they are able to interact with children in classrooms. So we desperately need that kind of environment back.
Ma'am, you were saying that the second year students have interacted with students in school.
The second years also, they did online teaching. Okay. And now first years are also now, in the first year, they only have to, they go to school for observation. So they are now doing online observation.
Okay. I hope we get out of the situation soon.
Yes, hopefully.
Ma'am, do you have any questions for me?
No, so what is this project about? In the sense, yeah, you did briefly write about CET and what it is doing with UNESCO. So,
yes, ma'am. Ma'am, can I stop the sharing now?
Yes, yes, please do.
Okay. And
the recording.
I'm also stopping the recording. Thank you for your time, ma'am. And I'm stopping the recording.